Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking together from the Epistle of Hebrews. And I want to emphasize this again and again. We need to have our faith grounded in biblical truth. In other words, we're not just following the teachings of man. I've talked about this many times before. Many religious people are right here in Guam, in America, in the Philippines, and in countless other countries. They're extremely, extremely religious. The problem is, much of what they believe and follow is not found in the Word of God. I want to emphasize to you again and again, there is one source of truth, and that is the Word of God itself. If we're not basing our faith and our walk with the Lord on the Word of God, then we're basing it on falsehood, the teachings of man. You see this on television, you see it in churches, you see it in the cult groups that wander around our neighborhoods trying to sell their books and so forth. Everyone is trying to teach something else other than what is strictly taught in the Word of God. Some people are even afraid of the Word of God because they have more confidence in man than they do in God Himself. And so they don't read the Word of God. I'll say to people who are very religious, well, do you have a Bible? Do you read the Bible? Have you ever read the Gospel of John? Well, I've never actually read that, but I've read the Sermon on the Mount and other teachings, the moral teachings of the Lord Jesus. But what is your faith based upon? Is it based upon the Word of God? I might ask them. And they have no answer to this question because they're simply following the teachings of their church or of man. And so I would urge you, get into the Word of God itself. In other words, do not do this because of me or simply because of Harvest Baptist Church. In the Harvest Baptist Church, it's the Word of God that is emphasized. And you're being taught the Word of God. And in countless other churches, in the Philippines, in Guam, and in America, and in other places, it's the Word of God that's being emphasized. There are countless churches teaching this. Go to a church, listen to the Word of God, but especially yourselves in your own life. Open the Word of God, the Gospel of John, the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, the book of Hebrews. These are the great doctrinal books you need to be studying, and you need to open your heart to study these very carefully and to live by the truth that they teach, first of all in salvation itself and then in the Christian life. So if you're depending upon anyone else or anything else other than Jesus alone to take you to heaven, you're not going to go there. It's not Jesus plus someone else. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's not Jesus plus our religion. No, it's Jesus alone who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, "No one cometh to the Father except through me." And so he emphasized this, underline this in your Bibles, John 14:6. All right, now we want to come back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're closing out this book. But I simply have urged you, get into the Word of God itself. I've done this in several different lessons as we've studied this book of Hebrews. Get into the Word of God and read the Word of God and understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then trust in Christ and then follow Him with all your hearts. I want to begin our reading now with verse 7, chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. Follow this with me if you have your Bibles. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away or about with diverse and strange doctrines. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And I want to stop our reading right there, because I think we won't cover that much in this lesson. I want to first of all think with you of verse 7, those that have the rule over you. Now we just introduced this only in the last lesson, and I want to come back to this again now in this lesson. Those who have the rule over you. Some people do not like this word in the King James, rule. It simply means leadership. In other words, they're not rulers. They're not kings over you. They are your teachers. They're people who've been instructed in the Word of God. God has called them to what we call the ministry. They're the part of the pastoral staff, for instance. And here at Harvest, we have a pastoral staff. These are trained men. They know the Word of God. They're leaders, in other words, for the young people, for the children, for the women, and, of course, for the church itself. Pastor Marty Heron is a pastor here. And there are many other churches here in Guam, hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of sincere Bible-teaching leaders in the United States and in other countries of the world. And so these are appointed by God. They're appointed to lead over us. Now, there are a number of passages which refer to these, and I'm not going to be able to take all of these passages today, but I want to think of a number of different passages that talk about this. And one of these passages would be back in the book of Ephesians. And turn back into that book with me. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians now. We're thinking of leaders now. Ephesians chapter 4. That's what I'm looking at right now. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at this a little bit. And we're going to consider concerning these men. He talks now about how God has appointed these leaders as leaders over us. And let's go down to verse 11. If you're looking at chapter 4 of Ephesians, let's go down to verse 11 and we read these words. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now let's think about these people. We don't have the apostles anymore. That ministry completely has passed away. I realize today some on television are claiming to be apostles and claiming to be this and so forth and claiming to be prophets, but much of what they teach is not at all in conformity with the Word of God. They speak of their visions, they speak of their dreams and so forth, but we don't follow the teachings of man. We don't follow these teachings at all. We follow the Word of God. So when their teaching is not in conformity with the Word of God itself, we don't follow it. We follow the teaching that is in conformity with the Word of God. Now, in this passage from Ephesians, and there are a number of passages that speak of the ministry of pastors and leaders, there's a purpose stated very clearly here for their ministry. And verse 12 tells us the purpose for the ministry of these ones God has appointed, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. In other words, their purpose is to help the saints grow, and to teach the saints, and to exhort the saints, of course, to lead people to Christ. We praise God for evangelistic messages that we hear in our churches. But we need more than just evangelism. We need the building up of the saints. Because in God's plan for His church, and we studied this when we studied the prison epistles, and I won't go deeply into this again with you, but God's purpose for leadership is to train the believers so that every believer will become a witness for Christ, so that every believer will live righteously as they live in the world. In other words, to train the people of the congregation, the brothers and sisters, in other words, of the body of believers, and to help them also minister for the Lord, not in the sense of being pastors, but in the sense of reaching out to their neighbors and friends and family and workmates and schoolmates and whoever they might meet, to reach out to these people. So that's the purpose according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Even Christians reaching out to other Christians. In other words, we need in our churches more mature Christians who have a burden for the less mature Christians, and who will be a mentor to them, who will be a teacher to them, who will help them grow in the Lord, and so forth. And then, of course, to reach out to the unsaved. The pastor cannot do it alone. We have a wonderful pastoral staff here at the Harvest Church. They depend upon every believer doing what they should be doing. They cannot reach into every home. They can't reach into every family. They can't reach into every work situation or school situation that many of the students would be in. They can't do these things. They can't do it all. But when the united body of believers is ministering for the Lord enters his reaching out, why it multiplies the work of God. Now, I want to stop right there. Now, what kind of a man is this leader to be? That, of course, is a major, major question. What kind of a person is this leader to be? Let me just take one of the passages. The passage that's found over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn to that with me, 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to read just a very, very few verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Let's take those first five verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And then verse 3, neither as being lords over them, dictators over them, over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall also receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, perhaps I could stop right there. In verse 5, perhaps we could read it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Lay all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, that resisteth the proud, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Let me stop our reading right there. Now, in this passage of Scripture, some of the qualifications for a pastor are laid out, and I may refer to one other passage as well, but some of the qualifications for a pastor are laid out. One of the temptations of a pastor is going to be that of being a dictator. In other words, of eliminating any possible resistance to him from deacons or from anybody else and being a dictator in the flock. And this, of course, is forbidden in this passage of Scripture. He is not to lord it over the people. Now, in the early church, they had deacons, and apparently they were serving deacons. They were deacons they used. We think of Stephen, for instance, one of the deacons appointed in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, who went out on the streets himself, sharing the gospel out on the streets, and was a martyr. He was stoned to death there. We think of Philip, who was sent by the church up into Samaria. I think I've referred to this in a previous lesson. We'll not go into this again. But he was sent by the church up into Samaria to reach these people who had intermarried with the invaders and who were often despised by many of the Jews. But he was sent up there to reach these people with the gospel, where Christ had first reached in a passage like John chapter 4. And so these deacons were very important in the work of the church. They handled the finances of the church. They handled the care of the widows and so forth. There were many responsibilities given to the deacons, but they still had leaders. In other words, they still had the pastors. So the teaching here in this passage is that the pastors are not to be dictators. They're to be an example to the flock. They're to have humility. This is brought down in verse 5 again. They're to have a humble spirit. And of course, the people of the church are also to have humble spirits. The deacons are to have humble spirits. I don't believe in a deacon, deacons being lords over the congregation either. The idea that I have power now and you must listen to me. How dare you defy me and so forth. Not this attitude at all. So the pastors are not to have this. They're to be an example to the flock. At the same time, the people are to respect their position. They're to honor these people, because they've been trained, they've been put into leadership by God, I follow their teachings, I'm not a dissenter, in other words, one who causes trouble in the church, I don't defy their teaching or any such thing. Now, sometimes we pastors, we might teach something which is not quite correct. Sometimes pastors have had to be corrected by another pastor perhaps, or perhaps a deacon comes to him as a brother in the Lord. Pastor, is this really what you meant to teach? And the pastor may have meant to teach it in another way, but he didn't say it quite correctly. So it's not wrong for a pastor to be approached by a godly man and to perhaps be corrected a bit, or for a pastor to be advised concerning the meaning, the true meaning of a certain passage of Scripture. But nevertheless, he is a leader who is to be respected. And that's a teaching of this passage. Now, one other passage I would refer you to, and in this lesson we don't have time to deal with it, and I won't be coming back to this again, but it's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. where the qualifications for a pastor are laid out. They're very, very strict qualifications about him being a good family man, about him being blameless. There are many qualifications laid out for a pastor. And so the pastor is to live under the Word of God himself. He's subject to the working of the Holy Spirit. He is subject to God's correction, even God's chastising, just as we, the ordinary Christians, might be subject to the chastising of God. But the pastor is also subject to the same thing. He's a sinner saved by the grace of God and then trained and called by God into the ministry of the pastor. He never forgets this. And so when he fails, God may at times chastise him, but God continues to use him as a man of God. So that's 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now I need to bring this lesson toward a close. And again, as I started this lesson, if you are depending upon anyone else or anything else to help take you to heaven, you're not going to go there. You need to accept this. If it's not found in the Word of God, God will not honor you simply for being religious. You may stand before God. You may say, "Well, I was so religious. I was in church every week. I prayed to this person and that person, and I did this thing and that thing. The church told me so." And God would simply say to you, "That's not what I told you to do. You did not follow my word. You followed the teachings of man and not my word. You read the books of man. You followed the teachings of man. And my word was very clear, but you never read it. You never studied it at all." I would urge you, get into the Word of God. Begin with the Gospel of John. Go into the book of Romans, which teaches the salvation of God, and so forth. But get into the Word of God. And then for you Christians, you also need to grow in the Word of God. And I want to include myself as well. As many times, maybe dozens and dozens of times, as I've read through the Bible, I've taught the Bible, I've been a teacher for these many, 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 many years in seminaries and Bible schools all over the Orient, all over the Far East here. However, I never can stop growing in the Lord. I need to meditate on the Word myself, not just study for lessons, but meditate on the Word of God daily and walk with the Lord closely. So whether we're pastors or deacons or ordinary members of the church, we might consider ourselves to be ordinary. Nevertheless, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. May the Lord help you, each one, to be everything that God wants you to be saved from your sins by Jesus alone, according to the Word of God, or to walk with Him as Christians. May the Lord help you, each one.